brand new podcast from Hyperball.com to fill all of your superhero needs. We are so excited to be adding this show to our list, especially now with all of the superhero madness that's happening on film and TV and is soon coming. My name is Marima, and you may have heard me on Hype and Book Hype, contractually obligated to be in shows with the word hype in the title. And joining me is my co-anchor, my co-host, the other half of my brain from the other half of the world. It is the lovely Donya from Not Another Teen Wolf podcast and from Rewatchable podcast as well.
Hi.
And
I love that introduction of me. That should be my introduction every week.
I think I'm going to just make it exponentially more ridiculous every time I introduce you.
I'm probably okay with that.
That'll be a fun game for me to play. So this is our first episode, and we are going to break down some of the upcoming TV shows and films that we're going to be discussing going forward on Hero Hype. Before we do that, let's just kill the mood a little. Got to do some boring announcements. So Hero Hype, how it's going to work. Longtime readers of Hyperball may remember that we used to have a Hero Hype podcast. It's only been a brief two and a half year hiatus since that finished. But in the classic style of superhero reboots, we are reusing the name and basically nothing else of that show. So consider us the Andrew Garfield to their Tobey Maguire, unless you prefer the Sam Raimi trilogy, no judgment, in which case you could consider us the Batfleck to their Christian Bale, unless you prefer your Batman sort of circa mid-2000s, in which case maybe just consider us a brand new and updated Hero Hype. So yeah. We have fantastic new theme music that makes you want to go off and join up with Peggy Carter. We have this beautiful artwork. You may have noticed we have some new hosts. And this show is going to have a slightly different structure and focus. Donya and I are going to be the captains of the crazy cruise ship Hero Hype, and we'll be bringing on different Hyperball writers as guest hosts to talk about things that they are especially passionate about, whether that's positively or negatively. And as those hosts start coming on, you might start to notice a slight trend towards ladies, because we love ladies and we don't feel like they get enough representation in the world of comics and superheroes. So we are going to rectify that one show at a time here in Hero Hype. So you can expect such conversations like, where is my damn Black Widow film? And hey, maybe Marvel movies can be successful even if they don't star guys called Chris. And let's talk about representation in media. All of these fun things coming soon on Hero Hype, as well as much excitement for all various things. And, you know, there'll be some dudes on sometimes as well. So there's so much TV and everything to talk about. The aim is for this to be a fortnightly show, and it will alternate with Hype, our general entertainment podcast, which you should probably listen to if you have not checked it out already. I don't know what you're doing if you're not listening to it. And fortnightly, for those of you who maybe don't use that word, that means every 2 weeks. So mark it on your calendar. Every 2 weeks, we'll be here with brand new, exciting episodes. Donya, maybe we should talk about some credentials. You are the reigning queen of Team Hawkeye. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your experience with comics?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been reading comics for a very, very long time. Probably got into them around 5 or 6 years old. Mostly stuff like the Avengers branch of stuff, X-Men, a little bit of Spider-Man. Which then kind of grew into a love of Hawkeye eventually, which in very, very recent years became a crazy obsession with Hawkeye due to Matt Fraction's current run featuring both Clint Barton and Kate Bishop. So, yeah, I didn't really get into DC Comics much when I was younger. That sort of came a little bit later when I went through my teens. And I'm particularly a fan of the Hellblazer comics, so I'm going to have a little bit of Constantine bias probably through Hero Hype as well, because I do love me some John Constantine.
Hey, we love overt bias. That's exactly what we're about here on Hyperball. I am definitely the newbie to Donya's expert, but I'm trying, guys. I'm trying. I started my comic book journey, as so many of us do, having watched the beautiful Chris Evans in the first Avenger and thinking, hey, this Captain America guy, he's pretty great. I would like to know a little more about him. So I'm definitely a Cap girl. I also am a big X-Men fan. I started off with the Astonishing X-Men run because I'm a Whedon fan also. And then, yeah, it's been sort of a downward spiral from there. I'm definitely more Marvel than DC, like big fan of Black Widow, Captain Marvel, all the ladies. Although, oh, and Spider-Man, of course. I have dabbled a little with Batman, but yeah, more of a Marvel girl at heart. So don't worry, Donya is like our accredited superhero comic book expert on Hyperball and accredited by me just now. But whenever we run those really big, long, in-depth pieces, Donya is always fact-checking them. So, you know.
Always. I'm watching you, Hyperball.
Yeah, she's just creeping over our shoulder. Even when we don't ask her, it's kind of annoying. She's weird like that. Okay, we're going to talk about some...
spell Steve Rogers right.
Right, exactly. If you don't spell Steve Rogers right three times, Donya just appears over your shoulder. It's actually how you get her to travel. So, we're going to talk about some TV and some movies. Before we do that, you can find us on the internet. Isn't that fun? You can find us on Twitter at Hero Hype Podcast. You can find us on Tumblr, our Tumblr, whatever. What do you call a Tumblr thing? I don't know.
It's just Tumblr our name, URL, I guess.
Our URL. Yeah. I'm not hip with the cool kids. is also Hero Hype Podcast. And if you want to send us a longer piece of feedback, you can email us herohypepodcast@gmail.com. You might be sensing a trend here. So make sure that you tweet us the shows that you're watching, the shows that you're excited for, and the films that you are really looking forward to, because that way we'll know what you'd like us to talk about here on Hero Hype. And, you know, we'd like this to hopefully be an enjoyable experience for everyone. So, yeah, that way everyone wins. So let's talk about TV shows. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is killing it this season. I am so into it. This show started off not great. I think we can all agree that it was... a little bit of a slow start for the old Marvel TV show, but really picked up pace and really has come into its own, I feel, instead of just being something that you watch because, oh, you kind of want to know how it relates to the films. What do you think?
Yeah, I think when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. started, it was definitely a vehicle for Captain America 2, so it was really pushing in that direction. And after Captain America 2 happened and really... like shook up the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe, it really found its feet and started growing into its own show. And I really, really, really loved it since that point. I mean, I'm ridiculously attached to a lot of the characters now as well, but I'm particularly loving it this season, especially with the introduction of the wonderful Bobby Morse, who... again, kind of biased towards her just by virtue of her being very involved in Hawkeye's storyline.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, surprise, surprise. Yeah, no one's going to be shocked by that. But yeah, this season has pretty much been go, 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 and I've loved it. The Fitzsimmons stuff is breaking my heart. Every week, I'm just crushed that tiny, tiny bit more, and I'm like, oh, please. Stop.
I think it's breaking the internet is what's happening.
Yeah.
If I was on Tumblr, I feel like this is a thing I would be doing. Another show that I have been watching recently is Arrow, because I'm really into The Flash, and there's this really cool crossover episode coming up. It's going to be episode 8 for both shows, where they're going to do a proper crossover, not a cameo, but, you know, where they start in one city and they travel to the next. So I felt like I needed to be caught up on Arrow before that, because I just sort of missed the Arrow boat a little. I'm really obsessed with Arrow now. I watched the entire first season in about 2 days, texted Donya all the way through, so she had to put up with that. I haven't started season 2 yet because I'm still in mourning because my favorite character died in the season finale, and it's a little difficult for me to move on from that, but I'm really loving Arrow, although, you know, the voiceovers are a little ridiculous, but that's kind of what you get with that sort of show, I think.
I love Arrow. Basically, when we were kind of discussing setting this up, I was like, Marima, Marima, watch Arrow. Marima, you have to watch Arrow. Marima, why are you not watching Arrow?
And I was
Marima,
like,
you
I'm
are.
sure it's not that good. I'm sure it's okay. And then I started watching it and mind blown. Everyone, if you haven't watched it yet, definitely watch it. It's so great.
It's like, your education doesn't matter. Oliver Queen matters.
Yeah. Oh yeah, gratuitous shirtless scenes of Amel, that's what matters.
It was pretty great.
Yeah, and then you've also been watching The Flash, I know. Big
Yeah.
Grant Gustin fan over there.
I absolutely love Grant Gustin. I think out of all of the TV shows and casting that has happened so far, I think Grant Gustin has been one of the most on point in terms of getting that character so right. Like, for me, he is Barry Allen. I just, oh, such perfect casting. I love him. And really, really into The Flash as well, because for me, compared to like the seriousness of everything else that we've got, because a lot of the DC stuff tends to kind of sway towards the gritty realism and being a little bit darker, though Arrow is a little bit ridiculous at times. Flash, The Flash is unapologetically a superhero show, which is fantastic because we really need one of those on TV. And it's just so much fun and it's having fun with itself. And yeah, this crossover event coming up, I'm really, really excited for.
Yeah, and they've already introduced all of the time travel elements, which I think some people were a little concerned that, they weren't going to embrace that, which is such a big part of the Flash canon. So that is really exciting. And it's interesting to see how that works with Arrow, because they've established that as this not I wouldn't say gritty, but it's definitely aiming to be a little more realistic rather than the Flash. So I'm really looking forward to see how the series kind of dovetails into this crossover and then goes their own way for each show. You mentioned at the start, big Hellblazer fan. So, Constantine, have you been loving it?
I have been loving it. The pilot, I think the thing that I had to keep in mind going into it is that after they had eventually decided on Liv as a character who was an original character that they'd written for the series, they eventually figured out that she just wasn't working, both in her chemistry with Constantine and being able to hold her own, and where they wanted to move the story. So the pilot kind of suffers a little bit for having a character that they very hurriedly have written out because they decided that that wasn't the direction that they were going in. They instead decided to bring in Zedd, who is from the comics and has a very, very interesting backstory and history with Constantine. So, episode two, for me, if they continue on in that trend, this show is going to be awesome. Because the thing about Constantine is he isn't particularly a hero. He is a working class anti-hero, which is also how Matt Ryan, who is playing Constantine, likes to describe him. Because Constantine, he's the kind of guy where if it came between saving 1,000 people or his best friend forever, if those 1,000 people are the most important to save, and they are the ones, like, there could be someone within that 1,000 people who could kind of end up saving the world, he would save the 1,000 people and let his best friend die. However, if his best friend turned out to be the one who is most important and he could get something out of it, he would save them and let 1,000 people burn. You know, he is a little bit self-serving and also kind of does, yeah, what'll help him out a lot of the time rather than other people, which I think makes for a very interesting dynamic when he butts heads with other people. Like, he will team up with villains to meet an end, like if that's what he needs to do. Like, his morals are very, very gray. So he's a very fascinating character for me. So as long as they keep very, very true to that, I think Constantine is going to be very, very different to what we've seen so far out of the superhero adaptations.
Yeah, I definitely fell prey to that sort of lackluster pilot syndrome I watched the pilot. I wasn't so into it, but I know you really like it, and we have basically the same taste in everything. So I'm going to give it another shot when I have some time to sit down and catch up on it. Another show that I have not been impressed with is Gotham. I have to say I've only watched the first two episodes because I really wanted to love Gotham. In fact, Gotham was probably the show I was most excited for, even more so than The Flash coming, because I'm a huge fan of, I'm a big Batman fan, but I'm a huge fan of origin stories, and that's kind of how they set this up. It was going to be this really cool, like, origin story for all of these characters, you know, maybe that's a problem. They're trying to do too many characters, and I think you've said to me before, like, it's kind of Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.-y, because it's just, like, nothing is happening at the start. It's just so, so slow, and I don't know. I can't get into it. Have you ventured past episode two?
I have. I'm completely up to date on Gotham, including the episode that aired last night. I managed to squeeze that in before we started recording. And again, the last couple of episodes have been pretty solid. I think it is starting to find its feet a little bit now. I definitely struggled through the first few episodes because I'm still finding it very, very hard to get around the fact that basically they're introducing these characters at the age that they're at before they become their supervillain alter egos. And Bruce is still very, very young. So for me, by the time Bruce is old enough to become Batman or before he reaches that point, they're going to be way past their prime. And that's something that is very, very difficult for me to get my head around. Even though I know that's not the direction that the show is going in, they're not going to be doing the Batman thing. It's all about these villains before they were villains. And I'm using quotation marks there because some of them are still kind of villains at this point.
If only it was a video podcast. Way. Except yeah. Not, because no one yeah. wants to see me right now, I guarantee.
No, it's late for me, so I'm in my pajamas. So it's not a thing that's happening. But yeah, it's been such a slow starter. So I'm hoping that if it continues the way that it's been going, like the last couple of episodes, I've really, really been enjoying. You know, I think it'll have a solid mid-season to the rest of what they've got to air. So I'm cautiously optimistic about the direction that Gotham is now going in. Whereas I was borderline, like, not wanting to watch it every week, which is very weird for me in superhero shows. I'm usually all on top of that, like, the second I can get my hands on the episode. So I'm at that point now where we left off in this last episode has made me want to go, oh, I need to watch the episode next week.
Yeah, that's kind of how I'm feeling about it. So I think it will be better for me once, now there's a few more episodes out, I can watch them all together, which I think will clear up some of those pacing issues for me, and then hopefully catch up, and by that point the show will have picked up a little, because, you know, I get it, new shows takes a little while to establish, but it's just, I'm not so big on the, I'm more of a I race through shows. I tend to binge watch things versus, like, watch them week after week, mainly because I have a pretty bad memory and I live in Australia, so it's a little hard to get my hands on things. One show that we are super excited about, you may have noticed our music is basically an homage to her, is Agent Peggy Carter. Agent Carter coming in January 2015. This is getting so close now. I am so excited. I have been waiting for this show since I saw First Avenger. Then we had that one shot. Then we keep having these little sneak peeks at her and things. And man, it's going to be so great. We had the synopsis for this was released just this week. And the trailer is not great, I have to say, but the synopsis sounds cool. She's going to be really getting her hands dirty. She's going to be kind of teaming up with Howard Stark. We know that he's going to be back in it and doing some undercover work, being a proper spy. So it's going to be a good time.
As someone who absolutely loves period-based stuff, and particularly stuff set around World War II and the aftermath of World War II, I am so into this and this whole thing and learning more about Peggy and the beginnings of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, I'm just so ridiculously excited about it. I almost went as Peggy for Halloween as well. I was gonna do a Peggy Carter costume, but I didn't finish it up, and plans fell through for one of the parties I was supposed to go to, so that didn't happen. However, I do have some of the pieces, so next time I have a dressing up opportunity, watch out, because I'm gonna be Peggy Carter.
You've said it on Hero Hype now, so I'm pretty sure you owe the listeners a photo of you in that costume. So I'm expecting you to dress up in that and do the whole thing and then put on Twitter.
I will finish up the costume first because it isn't completely finished. When the plan started falling through, I didn't finish the whole costume. So I've got to finish sewing the skirt and taking out the shoulders and redoing part of the jacket. And then when that's done, I promise I will style my hair properly. I will do the whole makeup. I'll get one of my housemates to take a photo. And
Oh,
yeah.
challenge accepted. Okay. So that is going to be airing, like we said, in January. That's going to be in the season break for Shield. So I think, as we can assume from the opener of this season, they're going to tie together a little or a lot. Another show that is coming soon, this is the next Marvel one. This is going to be the first of their Netflix shows. They have been talking about these for ages, and there's going to be five of them all up. But the first one is Daredevil, which will be in May next year. Charlie Cox has been cast as the lead. It's all happening. It's all going ahead. And didn't you see them at New York Comic Con?
Yes, so the cast of Daredevil and some of the creators were at New York Comic Con last month. I didn't get the opportunity to go to the panel, unfortunately. Someone else from Hypeable went. I think it was Jen who got to go to the Daredevil panel, and she got to see some of the first footage from the show as well, and she was very impressed by it. So it's looking good. I'm really excited. When they actually brought the cast out as well, I think they were doing like a little signing over by the Marvel booth. You could swear that they had concentrated the entirety of the people attending New York Comic Con just into that tiny Marvel booth because there were so many people clamoring just to get their first look at the Daredevil cast, even if they had been in the panel or not. Like the anticipation for this, just from that, must be huge for so many people. So it's going to be really cool to see what they do with the Netflix format because obviously the way Netflix works is everything's going to get released at once. So it's going to feel a lot more like a very, very long movie rather than episodes because you're going to be able to do an all-in-one sitting of episode 1 to 13. It's 13 episodes, right?
Yep.
Yeah, 13, it all in one setting. So it's just going to be like a super long movie.
Yeah, my kind of show.
Yeah, you're going to get that Netflix pop-up that goes, "Hey, you still watching? Do you want to take a break?" No.
Yeah,
No
please go outside. We
Netflix.
cannot be responsible for this. So Daredevil is the first. Then there's also Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, and Luke Cage. They're all going to be 13 episodes, and then they're all going to tie together in The Defenders. So they will all be on Netflix. The others don't have confirmed dates yet, and casting and etc. is still happening. But I think Daredevil is the most anticipated of them. Everyone seems to be talking about Daredevil. This is actually really brand new, is Supergirl, which was. They just mentioned it, then CW picked it up immediately for a season, for a whole season, so not even doing the pilot thing. This is so exciting. They just released the casting call, I guess, for the two lead characters. So, Donya, I know you're really excited. Do you want to talk about this?
Yeah, so casting call went out to basically cast Supergirl herself, so Kara Zor-El, also known as Kara Danvers. And she has a fairly similar set up to Superman. She's sent from Krypton to Earth. She's placed in the care of like a foster family who kind of tell her, "Be careful with your powers." It's the story that we know from Superman, essentially in female form. But it's going to be super interesting because she is also going to be joined as a lead character by her older sister, Alex, and there is not a show that I can think of in superhero land where we have two female characters right off the bat cast straight in as the main characters. Like, this is the casting call for characters. That's it. We've only know of Alex and who is the sister, and Kara Danvers. So that's really exciting for me. And it's also being headed by Greg Berlanti, who is the man behind Arrow and the Flash. So, you know, it's going to be pretty exciting to see this come to fruition, because I absolutely love Arrow and the Flash already. So if this is of the same caliber, and knowing how well they write and flesh out their female characters on those shows as well, we should be in for another really awesome superhero show on TV.
Yeah, Arrow and the Flash have definitely proven that they can do women well. And also, I think they're very different shows, but have worked really well. Like, the Flash's ratings have been insane. So I am not at all worried for this. I think we should all be really excited for this. And, you know, we'll keep you updated as casting and things happen for that. Looks like it's all moving pretty quickly. One more is apparently there's a live-action Teen Titans. This is going to be Titans show in development. This is all very preliminary. Donya, I don't watch Teen Titans. Are you into Teen Titans?
I am super into Teen Titans, and I will admit, less because of the comics and more because of the animated TV series that they did. I absolutely love Teen Titans. I remember it was always on after I used to get back from school, and I would devour as many episodes as I possibly could of it, and I loved it. Like, they have a real opportunity to do here something very, very similar to The Flash, like a show where it's unapologetic about being a superhero show. They could have a lot of fun with it, because that was the thing about the Teen Titans of the DC animated universe, is that it was a lot of fun. Like, they didn't treat it seriously all the time, but when they did, those emotional plots had so much impact. So, you know, it could be a really colorful, really interesting series, depending on which direction they take it in. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, we'll, you know, find out more about that. That's very early, it seems. Okay, yeah. Let's talk about movies. There's only about 500 coming out before 2020. So to save everyone the drama of looking everyone up, I'm just going to run through some of these quickly. Let's start, as always, with Marvel. we're just finishing out Phase 2 right now. We have Age of Ultron, that's May next year. Then Ant-Man in July. Then Phase 3, recently announced, only like last week or... Yeah, not just so soon. It's blown all of our minds. We start off with Captain America Civil War in 2016, followed by Doctor Strange in 2017. We have Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and Thor 3, which is Ragnarok. Then Black Panther in 2018. We have Captain Marvel and Inhumans, and the first part of Avengers Infinity War, followed by Part 2 in May of 2019. So... whoa, okay, let's just take a minute to think about this. We're getting Civil War. We are getting our first film with a female lead, and we're getting our first film with a person of color in the lead, and we're getting a two-part Avengers movie. I feel like everyone should take a collective deep breath together, because this is wild. I don't think anyone imagined that all of this was going to happen. Marvel manages to impress and surprise as well.
I've added all of these to my iCal on my phone already. So that I am ready for the midnight launches. However, I will probably say the release dates that they've currently put for these are probably going to be different for the UK, because we tend to get it about a week before you guys. Sorry. Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, in Australia we tend to get it like the day before because of how the time zone works. So... yeah. Too bad, anyone living in America. Joke's on you this time.
I mean, we're getting Age of Ultron in April.
Oh, all right. So everyone book their flights to the UK right now. You've got the release dates. You have no excuse. Just 1 month ahead. That's how you plan.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit of news. Speaking of Age of Ultron, the trailer came out.
Yes, it did.
Well, it leaked. And then they released it. Damn Hydra.
Yeah.
How
I mean, Marvel
excited are
handled
you?
that.
Yeah.
Marvel handled the leak really, really well. Like, I mean, hilariously, speaking of release dates, the leak actually had the UK release date at the end of it. So
Oh, so it's
it
your
was our
fault.
bad guys. It was the UK Hydra division, clearly, who
Someone
leaked
go and shake their hands, because thank you for that.
that. Oh man, that trailer. I loved it. I mean, there were so many little moments in it that have made me super excited. Like all of the hints that Black Widow's backstory is coming, all of the shots of Bruce kind of like having a meltdown almost. The really, really brief and yet still awesome shots of Hawkeye, which I'm into a lot. There should be more Hawkeye, in my opinion, always.
You won't be satisfied until it's Avengers Hawkeye subtitle.
Or just Hawkeye in giant capital letters
Yeah,
and
yeah.
in tiny letters underneath, and maybe some of the other guys too,
Yeah.
I guess.
Hey, it's time to pitch it. They're looking for their next set now. Yeah, I was definitely into this trailer, although I did see a trailer and some footage at the Marvel panel at Comic-Con in San Diego in July. So there wasn't too much that was different in this. Some of the Black Widow stuff was definitely new that had not been in the original trailer because I freaked out when that all happened. But overall, it's all looking good. I'm a big fan of the Avengers, naturally, as a Marvel girl. So it's gonna be good. We also found out, we already knew that Peggy Carter, Hayley Atwell was going to appear in Age of Ultron, and now it looks like Idris Elba said that both his character and Tom Hiddleston's are also going to appear. Donya, don't you have some like super cool theory for how this is going to happen?
I am pretty much convinced that because we know Scarlet Witch is going to be in there, and we know from that they showed a clip from Age of Ultron that was at that big Marvel event where they announced all of the dates, that at some point she shows them all a kind of vision of sorts, and it shows their kind of dark side. I am pretty much convinced that Thor's one is going to include Loki and Heimdall. So, potentially centering on Thor's grief around Loki's death. Though we, as an audience, know that Loki is not dead, he's just pretending to be Odin. Yeah, that's my theory for what's going on.
Yeah, I feel like people were a little surprised maybe that we didn't get a Loki film, but you know what? I'm sure that's still to come. Don't worry, they're going to milk this Hiddleston thing for all it's worth. Peggy Carter is also going to appear in Ant-Man, we just found out. So it seems like the new rule is there must be a Stan Lee cameo and there must be a scene with Agent Carter, which I am all for. I am 1,000% on board for that. The Ant-Man, there was a little bit of test footage they showed at Comic-Con. It was pretty underwhelming, and I'm not like the world's biggest Ant-Man fan anyway, but I can't really get excited about this. I'm sure it will be great, but they have just been through so many problems. And in July, the new cast members hadn't even read the script yet, so that was not encouraging. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how this is going to go down, I have to say.
I'm not particularly excited about Ant-Man either, and it's kind of for a couple of reasons. So I've never been a fan of Hank Pym anyway. I'm not sure that there are many people who are, particularly within my acquaintance
Well, there are
of
none on
friends
this
of
podcast.
yeah, there are friends of mine as well who none of us are particularly interested in Hank Pym. I mean, he's not a nice guy. I don't find that he has many redeeming qualities either. I mean, he was very abusive to his wife, Janet. Janet being another reason why I'm not particularly excited about Ant-Man. Janet Van Dyne, who was the Wasp, who was in the comics a founding member of the Avengers, and the person who came up with the name the Avengers. You know, she is a pretty big deal in the comic books. She's very much beloved amongst comic book fans, and they appear to have shoved her in the fridge before the film even gets started, because there was an interview around the time of Comic-Con where Michael Douglas was basically like, yeah, and Hank Pym suffered like a massive loss tragically with his wife, and it's like, no, you did not just kill off Janet Van Dyne. No, that's not okay. So I'm a little bit dubious about Ant-Man. Probably still going to go and see it regardless, but I have fairly low expectations about this. I will say, however, I do like Scott Lang, who is the other Ant-Man who is appearing in the movie. But again, a little bit dubious about how they're going to deal with his origin story, because I really like his origin story from the comic books, because it introduces a character that I really like, who eventually becomes a member of the Young Avengers, and her name is Cassie Lang. So,
yeah, I think they're trying to circumvent some of those issues with Hank by focusing on Scott. Well, we know Paul Rudd is playing Scott, and Paul Rudd is a whole lot younger and more attractive than Michael Douglas, so yeah, he's definitely going to be the focus. The footage that they showed at Comic-Con was Hank sort of trying to teach Scott what to do and how to use his powers and ride a bee or a fly or something. So yeah, not super exciting, but like, we'll go and see it anyway. It's not like we're going to boycott. The movie that I'm most excited for in this entire slate, and I'm sure will surprise no one, is Captain Marvel, July 6, 2018. I'm already counting down the days. This is the first Marvel film to be helmed by a woman. We're going to talk about Warner Brothers in a little bit, but this basically felt like a response to me. If Marvel had not put in a female-led film in Phase 3, they would have been under a whole lot of pressure. And they would have had a whole lot of criticism, because people have been asking for this forever. And honestly, it's a little too late for my taste. There's only one, so that's also just too little. But you know what? At least we're getting something. At least there's one.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of people disappointed that there isn't a Black Widow one. I'm disappointed that we didn't get both.
Yes.
Black Widow and Captain Marvel.
Same.
Captain Marvel is, for me, was the female superhero movie that I wanted to see happen, because I'm a huge fan of Carol Danvers. So I'm fairly excited for this one, too. Do you have a dream cast for Captain Marvel for Carol Danvers?
Oh, you know, I just want to see Natalie Dormer in a superhero film, so I will continue to say her name until someone casts her. Although, like, my pick for her would be female Thor, if they ever did that, which they never will.
Yeah. Oh, they might. They might go that way. You never know.
Yeah, because they're so good at not casting guys who are white called Chris.
Yeah. But they could, because we don't know what's going to happen in Thor Ragnarok.
It's true. What about you? Who's your dream cast?
My dream cast for Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers, is Katie Sackhoff. People who are fans of Battlestar Galactica will know her better as Starbuck.
Yeah, and I had never thought about this, and then I was looking at pictures of her, and I can totally see it. So I'm on board with your casting. You're much better at fan casting than me. I don't have the head for it.
I have so much fun fan casting for everything. I probably have a fan cast for pretty much most Marvel characters that I like. Like, I have a kind of idea of who I would like to see in those roles. So, yeah. I think she's one of the ones that I'd love to see, particularly because I guess her role in Battlestar Galactica is almost like test footage for Carol. Because they're very, very similar-ish characters in terms of what they do, which is a pilot, and their general kind of personality as well. So, yeah.
We'll find out. It's all very preliminary right now. Let's talk Warner Brothers. They also announced a whole slate of new films, but after Marvel said some things, everyone kind of forgot about it. So let's give Warner Brothers their dues. We have Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice. That is in 2016. Suicide Squad. also in the same year. Then Wonder Woman in 2017 and Justice League. Then coming in 2018, we have The Flash, which is going to star Ezra Miller. We have Aquaman also in 2018. 2019, we'll see Shazam and Justice League Part 2. And then 2020, Cyborg and Green Lantern. And in addition to all of that, there's work on a Sandman film. I think Joseph Gordon-Levitt is directing that. There's Justice League Dark, which will be Guillermo del Toro, all very preliminary. And then another untitled Superman and Batman movie that yet to be scheduled. So many things to be excited for. Personally, I'm, you know, super on board for the Wonder Woman movie, naturally. Again, about time. People have been asking for this movie for such a long time. And I think it's really good that Warner Brothers just went ahead and said, you know what, like, we're not going to wait and see how Dawn of Justice does. We're just going to schedule this. We're going to do it. So props to them.
I think it's fairly interesting as well that a lot of the Justice League characters are going to show up in Batman versus Superman. And then they're going to do their solo movies after that, which I thought was interesting that it wouldn't come the other way around, possibly, but you know, Dawn of Justice is kind of a not so subtle nod towards this being the dawn of the Justice League, I guess. So
right, they're just kind of doing the inverse to Marvel, but you know, it makes sense because they can do this film and then they can see how the characters are received, and you know what, like, they can always scrap these movies. I mean, you know, it's not nice to say, but they can always scrap them if the character is not as well received as they would have hoped. So it makes sense to me. And you know what, they don't really have the time to build it up like Marvel did, because Marvel has the Avengers going right now, and Warner Brothers really needs something to compete with that, and Justice League is, you know, obviously going to be the thing. So it was only a matter of time. What I am most interested in is the fact that they are doing a Flash movie while they have a Flash TV show going on. Because, obviously, Marvel have made this super concerted effort that to make everything connected. You have to watch everything to understand fully what is going on. And, you know, this is interesting to me. Although you are, you know, like we said, big Grant Gustin fan. So what do you think about Ezra Miller as The Flash?
I like Ezra Miller as an actor. I'm not entirely convinced about him as Barry Allen. I have a theory, though, that they may not actually be going with Barry Allen. I don't know that they've announced which Flash they are going to be using. I would actually kind of like to see them differentiate the Flash of the movie universe and the TV universe by maybe even making that Flash, the movie Flash, Wally West instead. Now, I know, guys, that he's technically Kid Flash, but there's nothing stopping them from giving him a slightly different origin story. We know how Marvel likes to play with changing up the comic book origins and making it something new and kind of cool and interesting in the movie universe. So they could really do something like that, age him up a little bit, and make him a different Flash. I think that would be a really interesting way to differentiate the universes a bit too.
Yeah, I the more you say that, the more that makes sense to me. I would be surprised if they made them both Barry Allen, because that's just waiting for confusion. And, you know, everything's happening. Everything's happening. I mean, the Flash is obviously not for a little while now, but we imagine that we might be seeing him before then. So yeah.
I think the other props you have to give to Warner Brothers as well is that obviously Cyborg is also going to be headed up by a person of color, because Cyborg, where he is not actually mechanical, is a person of color. So that's also going to be really interesting.
And also Aquaman.
Yeah, yes, because isn't it Jason Momoa?
Yeah, Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Carl Aquaman.
so excited about that. And also Ezra Miller, who identifies as queer, though doesn't particularly enjoy putting labels on it, heading up The Flash. That's a really, really nice thing to see as well.
Yeah.
That we're getting a lot more, a lot more diversity in our superhero movies.
Yeah, Warner Brothers is doing a lot better than Marvel on that scorecard. So Marvel, up your game. you know, we like you. People are going to see you in movies anyway, but like, let's shake things up a little. I think the world would agree with you on that one.
Yeah.
And I know the other one that you must be excited for would be Justice League Dark, considering your affinity for Constantine and Hellblazer.
Yes, and I know that Del Toro has said in interviews and actually wrote an article about it that after Comic-Con, he did say he is going to be paying attention to the Constantine TV series, and if he does like it and he's been given the kind of the floor from Warner Brothers as well, according to this interview, that if he really likes Matt Ryan's take on Constantine and he's really into it, he is open to putting him in Justice League Dark as well. Interestingly enough, David S. Goyer, who's heading up the Constantine TV series, has also been given free rein by Warner Brothers to actually anyone who is in the kind of mystical supernatural realm of powers within the DC universe is fair game for him as well, which also includes pretty much every Justice League Dark character. They are the mythical kind of powers guys. So, yeah, that's really interesting. But I'm super excited to see what Del Toro does with Justice League Dark, because creatures and monsters and mythical stuff is right up his alley, and he does it so, so well. So I think Justice League Dark is probably the best fit in Warner Brothers DC Universe for Del Toro. Like,
oh yeah,
that is a match made in heaven.
Absolutely.
So, I'd love to see that film come like sooner rather than later. I want them to put a release date to it.
Yeah, well, like we said, all of those last few still very much in development with no year set. Let us turn now to Fox, which is like the number two to WB and Marvel's one. I will let you fight over, you know, who is better of those two. Fox have, you know, they have a few things going on. Fantastic Four is coming next year. In 2016, we're having Deadpool, so exciting, X-Men Apocalypse. Then 2017, we'll have Wolverine 3, as yet untitled, and Fantastic Four 2. We're getting another untitled X-Men movie in 2018, and then in the works we have X-Force and Gambit. So, you want to talk about Gambit? All right, go ahead. Go on.
I love Gambit. Like, I actually was fairly surprised that they chose Gambit as a character to give his own movie to, because I didn't think that they would single out another X-Men character the way that they had with Wolverine to do like a solo movie for. But I'm a pretty big Gambit fan. His power has always been one that's fairly interesting to me. So being able to charge things and manipulate things with kinetic energy to make them explode, which is so cool. I mean, he carries a deck of cards in his pocket, and that is so, so cool for me. Like, he can charge those with kinetic energy and throw them and make them explode, because he can also time when he can have those explosions happen. So his actual powers are super, super cool to me, and there's so much potential cinematically for what they could do with that. Him as well, like, he is so, so cool, like, as being like a petty thief, kind of almost edging onto con men with like a southern kind of charm. That is so, so, so cool to me. Also, the opportunity for them to come up with so many terrible card puns, like ace in the hole or have a heart, mon ami, or something.
Please,
like,
stop.
Anything like that. It would be so cool. Come on.
And
you like puns and terrible superhero jokes.
Oh yeah, that's like my one skill. And did you mention Channing Tatum has been cast as Gambit? That's the yes. Exciting news.
Initially, when I saw that and when I heard the rumors that he may be up for the role, I was kind of like, I kind of like Channing Tatum. After that SNL sketch, though, where they made up that Channing All Over Your Tatum song, I find it really hard to take him a little bit seriously. But after reading what he had to say about Gambit and why he would want to take on the role, I'm a little bit more excited for him, because he feels fairly strongly about Gambit as a character. And he kind of said in terms of like the superhero universe, Gambit would be the only kind of character that he would want to play, because he has a little bit of Southern charm in him as well, because his dad is from Louisiana, so, you know, right area.
Sure. So. Well, you know, I'll leave you to be in charge of the Gambit excitement. Although, you know, yeah. I'm a big X-Men fan, so I can get on board with that.
I'm looking forward to seeing them reboot it and redeem it from that X-Men Origins Gambit, because I was not a fan X-Men Origins Gambit at all.
Okay, the other piece of casting news we had was for the Fantastic Four reboot. We now know it's going to star Michael B. Jordan, Kate Mara, Jamie Bell, and Miles Teller. That's a pretty solid lineup. I am not the world's biggest fan of Fantastic Four, but the first movies did not do much to endear them to me either. So we could give them another shot with these. And as far as reboots go, I think this is probably a good candidate.
Yeah. It's going to be nice to see what they do with it, especially because they've now got a cast that's a bit more diverse as well. And the actors are all of like a pretty high caliber, so it's going to be interesting to see what they do with it. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, I think it'll be good. You know, Fox has been pretty good lately. The new X-Men movies I have been enjoying immensely, though I think people maybe were surprised that instead of we got a Gambit film instead of a Mystique film, because they were the big rumors before Fox started announcing their next series of movies. Who knows? Maybe you know, Jennifer Lawrence wasn't into it. Maybe that will come later. We will find out. The last one, trailing far, far behind, just crawling to catch up. Poor old Sony. I mean, do they even make films anymore? Who really knows? Sony owns Spider-Man and nothing else, really. I know we all just wish that Marvel could have Spider-Man back in time for Civil War and it would all be great, but unfortunately, it looks like Sony are keeping their claws on him, and so they're trying to make it work with what they have. So far, I think we can agree, haven't done a great job. We have apparently a Sinister Six film coming in 2016. Then there are rumors of a female-led Spider-Man spin-off in 2017, Venom Carnage also in 2017, and Amazing Spider-Man 3 in 2018. Now, that being said, according to new reports, Venom is basically dead. And Sinister Six, they're saying, might have a soft, might be a soft reboot with a recast Spider-Man in time for Spider-Man 3. So Garfield still has another film on his contract, but it's not sounding super great. His films have not done very well, either like financially or critically, although, as I may have mentioned, I'm a fan of Garfield as Peter Parker. But yeah, I mean, are we even going to see Amazing Spider-Man 3 in 2018? Like, that just seems so unlikely to me that it's even going to happen at all.
No, it is so far off as well. Like, that's such a long time to wait for the next Spider-Man movie.
Right.
I am not optimistic about its chances. That said, if they are going to recast Spider-Man, if it's going to be that kind of thing that they're going with, I would like to see them, rather than recast Peter Parker, move into Miles Morales instead.
Please. Oh, please. But they won't.
they won't. I'd love to see them take the leap and do it, mostly because Andrew Garfield is such a good Peter Parker for me that I think it's too soon to reboot that character. Like, it's far too early in the game to do that. So Miles Morales would be, if that is their intention, that's where I'd like to see it go, just because it's too soon for me to say, to see another person as Peter Parker.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that, although earlier this year the producers said that we wouldn't see a Miles Morales film. You know what? I think Sony at this point will do anything to get people to see their movies, so they might retract that. I guess the plan was to hold off on Amazing Spider-Man and try and establish these side characters, try and make this into more of a franchise. But, you know, with Venom basically dead and no one knows really what's happening with Sinister Six, it's not looking good so far. And really, if you can't make Spider-Man work, it's like, Sony, you had one job to do. You had one character, and he is basically the most popular superhero of all time. If you can't make this work, and you know, some might disagree with me, but neither of the films that we have seen of Spider-Man, either the Tobey Maguire or the Andrew Garfield, have been amazing. What are you doing? Just give him up. Just give him back, and we can all be happy. Please just give him back.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I would argue that I enjoyed the Amazing Spider-Man 1 over Amazing Spider-Man 2, but I would probably put that down to a lot of the chemistry between Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone.
Yeah, like, I would agree.
You know, Peter and Gwen were what made that movie for me.
Like, yeah, 100%.
Every scene that they were in was just gold for me. Less so in Amazing Spider-Man 2. They were still really, really good, the two of them together, but I think it floundered in that it didn't know entirely what it wanted to be, other than moving towards... And I, you know, if you guys haven't seen Amazing Spider-Man 2, sorry, but they were very clearly moving towards wanting to kill off Gwen. That was the direction that they were going in, and it was building up to that the whole way through. You know, they could have retconned that from the comics. There was no particular reason to do that. I mean, Gwen became her own character and so fleshed out and so interesting in the movies that I would have loved to have seen her stay. But, you know, they've done what they've done. You know, that's that. But I'm not looking forward to Amazing Spider-Man 3, particularly because there isn't going to be any Gwen, and I'm not sure that if they do go with Peter Parker and they bring in a Mary Jane, that we're going to get the same kind of chemistry and attachment to Mary Jane and Peter's relationship as we did with Peter and Gwen.
Yeah, and look, at this point we might not even get Amazing Spider-Man 3. So, yeah. Who knows? Because they had cast Shailene Woodley as Mary Jane, but who knows if that's going to happen again. Anyway, I think we'll leave it there before we get too down on this. There's a lot of fun things happening, and, I mean, Spider-Man, we just want a good Spider-Man movie. Is that too much to ask? So, if that is not enough films, I don't know. You are a very difficult person to satisfy, person who is listening to this podcast. But hopefully that gives you just a bit of a rundown of the kinds of things that we will be talking about during Hero Hype. So we will see you again in 2 weeks. Make sure to tweet us at Hero Hype Podcast on Twitter. Let us know the things that you're excited for. Let us know the comics that you're reading. And maybe if you have any cool fan casting for any of these movies, there's only about 100. Let us know. Donya is queen of fan casting, but, if you let us know some cool things, we will tweet them out. We will let other people know, have a bit of a conversation on the internet, because it's great for communication, is what I've been told. So until next time, I'm Marima, and that's Donya, and this has been Hero Hype Podcast, and we will see you in 2 weeks. Bye.
Bye.